We're back with Larry Bradley, author of the book and an action plan for people disgusted by polarized politics here on KMA.
If I had a choice, I would. This is my first choice. This is my second choice. And if the third choice is somebody you just cannot tolerate, you don't have to put that then even down as a third choice. But what this says is we go through a ballot process and we determine, in essence, it's a little more complex than this, but let's just try to make it simple for our listeners, is you go, it's a lot like your caucus procedure in a way. You go through, you say, okay, who are the top two candidates? Okay, it's this candidate and this candidate. Okay, let's go back to everybody else who those two candidates were not their top choice. And let's ask them, in essence, by looking at the ballot, who was their second choice? Who was their third? And we keep going through a process of elimination until we come up with somebody who gets 51%. Now, if somebody gets 51% on the first ballot, we're over. We don't fool with it anymore. But this way, what you can say to yourself is, you know, I really like a Ross Perot type like candidate. I'm using Ross just for a illustration purpose here. And so you could have voted for Ross, your first choice out, and then made your second choice, maybe George Bush in that case. Or you could have made it Bill Clinton, like if you're talking about 92. And when Perot came in third, then the ballots could have been retabulated, and we could have said, well, okay, of all you people who voted for Perot, who's your second choice? Now, what this does is this is the same principle as any kind of sports you want to name. It's a thing of keeping people honest. I don't want to talk here too much, Larry. Am I okay here?
No, you're fine. We're continuing our discussion with Larry Bradley, who is author of the book, Neither Liberal Nor Conservative Be. And go ahead with that thought.
Well, there's another example that I like to give, and that's not political, that I think illustrates it. Think of yourself like you own a factory someplace, and one of the problems you have is productivity after the lunch hour, because everybody leaves their stations to go get something to eat, and then they straggle back in, and you lose production time because you can't keep the line running. Does that make sense?
Yes. Uh huh.
And so what you do is you come in and you have a cafeteria built in your facility, and you know, running cafeterias is not what you do, and so you have two vendors that are available in your town to run your cafeteria. And so one of them has wonderful food quality and terrible cost control. The other has fantastic cost control and terrible food. Well, neither one of those serve you, because if you have fantastic food, everybody stays to eat, but you're having to supplement the cafeteria, subsidize it, in order to make it run profitably for this vendor. And so all the gains that you make on productivity by keeping your people on site, you're losing through the cost of the cafeteria. Or the other vendor, so you get tired of that vendor, you fire them, and you bring in the other person. This one has, great cost control, but now lousy food. Well, nobody wants to stay and eat in your cafeteria, so you're paying the money. Yeah, you're doing okay, and, you know, it's not costing you a lot of money to have the cafeteria now, but now you're back to your productivity problem because everybody's leaving site to go lunch someplace. And so if you fire the second one, then you're right back to the first one. So where is the incentive for either one of those vendors to change?
Politics is constantly evolving, and the way we are governed is constantly evolving, but there's always a fact that it's hard to have change occur in Washington.
Yes, sir. I think the thing that needs to happen is people need to learn to work this on the local level. I live in Omaha, Nebraska, and one of the things that I'm going to start doing here, we're in the midst of our mayoral election. We have three prime candidates. We're going to have the expense of a primary election amongst these three, and then in another 6 weeks, we're going to have the expense of a second runoff election between the top two vote-getters. If we had instant runoff voting, we would only have the expense of one election because everybody would be able to rank order those three candidates as a first choice, second choice, and third choice right at the first time.
Well, now, that's an interesting theory or process, the runoff process. Now, we've only got a couple of minutes left. What do you think would be the best way to clean up this mess, like a constitutional convention of some sorts? like they had in 1776 and 1781 and through those periods with the early days of this country?
No, sir, I think it's a lot simpler than that. You know, it's all about setting the rules so the game is played so that it's in the people's interest who are playing the game to do things the right way. If you write the rules right, then you get the behavior that you want. And right now, we have a system that rewards the behavior of the duopoly of the Democrats and Republicans. If we want them to come out and to start behaving better, then we've got to fix it so that we have the possibility, just as in the business example that I gave there, we need to be able to go out and find a third vendor to run our cafeteria. Because if we can find that third vendor, then that makes the other two vendors, it forces them to clean up their act and to balance food quality and cost control. Because otherwise, we're going to hire somebody else. And well, right now, we don't have that.
You've made some great points, and I'm urging folks to get your book, Larry Bradley's Neither Liberal Nor Conservative Be, An Action Plan for People Disgusted by Polarized Politics. And once again, how can they reach your website?
The blog is thecenterstrikesback.com. That gives you links to the website where you can order the book, and like I say, I have extra goodies for people who order through my website.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a stimulating conversation and one that we'll be thinking about for quite some time.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate you having me on.